Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and those of you who are joining us online. We have a few announcements this morning. The directories are still available. You can pick them up at the back of the sanctuary. Herbert and Dean have them back there. They are $14. The church is picking up the rest of the cost, but you can pay with cash or check. And I think we'll have them for a couple more Sundays if you'd like to get one. Pastor Jennifer has asked me to let you know that in the current Word in Season for, I think it's October, November, December, her devotions that she wrote are November 7 through 20. And so she just wanted to know you to know that they're in there and to look out for them. And if you haven't picked up a current Word in Season, they're at both of the entrances. We're collecting a basket offering this morning since it's the first Sunday of the month after our regular offering. And this month, our basket offering is going to the scholarship fund. During worship today, during the children's sermon, we're going to bless animals. This is a very common practice connected to St. Francis of Assisi. His feast day is October 4th. And so not only will we do that during the children's sermon, but the gathering hymn is written by St. Francis of Assisi. He loved all of creation so much that he told all the parts of creation that God loves them and to sing and praise God. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. We have youth group this afternoon from 4 to 6 in the fellowship hall. We're going to be painting some pumpkins and playing games. So if you have a middle school or high schooler, they are welcome to join us, 4 to 6 in the fellowship hall. I wasn't able to take Monday through Wednesday off this past week, and so I'm going to try to take a couple of extra days off this week. Monday is my typical Sabbath, but I'm going to try to take maybe part of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. We'll see how the week goes. Next Sunday, in honor of Pastor Appreciation Day and month, and I think probably in honor of my birthday, the Fellowship Committee is hosting a potluck after worship. I don't like to be the center of attention, and so it kind of works out that instead of having two Sundays, Pastor Appreciation and birthday, they're kind of melded together. And then be thinking ahead to the end of the month. The 26th is our trunk or treat. We'd love for you to decorate a trunk or just show up and hand out some candy to the children. We have a few birthdays this week. Bobby Clodfelter, Sawyer Nelson. This is his golden birthday. He'll be 9 on the 9th. Woohoo! My birthday is the 11th on Friday, and Maddie Everhart on the 12th. Celebrating their anniversary this week, Todd and Amy Kepley, and remembering their baptisms are Jane de Bonaventura, Gyla Kepley, and Maddie Everhart. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as you all hopefully know, today we are doing an instructive Eucharist. So the service will be the same. The flow might feel a little bit different because throughout the service, I'm going to be offering commentary on what we do and why we do it. So I'm going to begin with a couple of preliminary things. The reason that we worship on Sunday is because it's the day of the resurrection. Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday. It's also the day that Christ created the church, sending the Holy Spirit to people on Pentecost, and the first Holy Communion meal after the Lord's Supper, post-resurrection, was the meal with the travelers on the way to Emmaus, when Jesus was made known in the breaking of bread. And so every single Sunday when we gather for worship, it's like a little mini Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection. Liturgy is the name for all that we do in the worship service, and it actually means the work of the people. That worship is something that we do all together, that you aren't just passively sitting there, that you are actively engaged in worship using your heart and your mind and your body. You probably already know this, but the presiding minister is an ordained pastor, and I serve in worship in the stead and place of Christ as I serve the assembly. Vestments are the garb that the worship leaders wear. They're intended to de-emphasize the person and help the assembly focus more on the function of the worship leaders. The alb, this white robe that I am wearing, is a sign of baptism. It's a sign of the baptism that we all share. And because it signifies baptism, it belongs to all of us. It's just that the leaders of worship wear it on behalf of us. Albs have been used in worship since about the 6th century. The stole is a long band of fabric worn by clergy as a sign of ordination. Stoles have been used by clergy since about the 8th century, and they're presented when one is ordained. They're worn in the symbol for the color of the day, and it is a symbol of the yoke of Christ and the obedience to Christ that clergy take in their ordination vows. You'll notice every Sunday that at the beginning of the service, that the choir and the assisting minister and I, we process into the sanctuary, and we reverence at the altar. To reverence is to simply show respect and humility, and we do it because we recognize the presence of Christ in our midst and at the table. The processional into the sanctuary is to signify that this space, which is always a sanctuary, is now going to be used for worship. And it is also to cue the assembly that it is time to quiet ourselves and pay attention to God and worship. You'll notice in your bulletin that there are four components of worship every single Sunday. And since the earliest days of the church, these four components have been used: gathering, word, meal, and sending. You'll see those marked in your bulletin every Sunday, but the earliest documentation we have of those is in the 100s, but they were likely used before that as well. And finally, before the prelude, I'd like to say a word about the prelude. During the prelude, we prepare ourselves for worship, and the prelude is intended to draw us into an attitude of prayer and praise. During the prelude, Judy offers a musical gift to this assembly, and we receive that by listening, by using that time for personal reflection, and to prepare ourselves for worship. And so now, let us do just that. And so we gather together in worship to keep one of our baptismal promises, to live among God's faithful people. We come to the font to confess our sins and receive forgiveness, the place where our eternal life began, the place where God adopted us as God's children. And we come to this place again to hear those words spoken to us and to return to the call we received at the font, to give thanks and praise to God, and to bear God's creative and redeeming love to all the world. We confess our sins together in worship as a community, because we recognize that sin is a state of being human and not something we uniquely have to bear alone. We pray for all kinds of sins, systemic sins like racism, and individual sins like being cruel or selfish. And we come to the font confessing our sins in the confidence and hope, knowing that God always forgives us. And that's the main reason we come every week to confess our sin, because we need to know that we are forgiven. We need to know that we are free no matter what, every time we come to confess. When we confess our sins, the pastor speaks for God and announces God's forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Anyone in the assembly may respond back to these words by making the sign of the cross again, as if to take in the forgiveness and grace of God into your very own body. So please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's peace, let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people in God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. And through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen.
Oh,
You may be seated while I offer more commentary. During the greeting, the presiding minister greets the whole assembly with the words of the Apostle Paul in the letters to his churches. And then the assembly greets the presiding minister in return. And we all are held together in the life of the triune God. This greeting is intended to remind us that we are here to meet God, and it joins all of us into a single act of focused worship, calling us to be attentive to the God that gathers us for praise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Kyrie, The Kyrie was sung by the earliest Christians in the early church. And the current version that we use is an example of how we take this ancient and historical structure of worship and we add modern melodies and modern words to fit our times now. So Kyrie eleison means Lord have mercy. And mercy is one of those churchy words that we use in sentences, but it can be hard to define or talk about. Mercy is who God is. It is part of God's very character. Mercy is steadfast love and kindness and compassion and goodness and faithfulness and loyalty, all wrapped into one word. Mercy is not a feeling. It is an action. It is an action that God constantly bestows upon us. And so if I were to have to put mercy into a couple of sentences, it would be this. Mercy is God's tender-hearted and deep and loving compassion. And so this is what we pray for when we say Kyrie eleison.
Thank you.
The prayer of the day, once upon a time, was known as the Collect. It collects all of our prayers together into one before God. It often expresses the main thoughts of the text of that day, and it bridges together the section of gathering to the section of the word. And it begins with the greeting, "The Lord be with you and also with you," which is originally found in scripture in the book of Ruth, but was likely long before that used in Hebrew and Jewish culture. It's a recognition between the presiding minister and the assembly that God is with you and God is with me, and that God holds us together as one. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. And if you have a picture of your pet, please bring it forward. And if not, that's okay too. Hi, Cameron. Hi, Kate. How are you feeling today? Good? Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Conrad. And this is Conrad's friend, Calvin. And we've got Calvin over here too, who has a dog named Arla. Arla's gonna be in the prayers too. So on Friday, it was a special day in the church. It was a day where we honored a man named Francis. He was from the town of Assisi, and so we call him Francis of Assisi. And this is based on a drawing of what he might have looked like. So that's Francis of Assisi. And Francis loved all of creation, and Francis loved God. And so he went around all over the place telling birds that God loved them, and telling the sun that God loved the sun, and telling the moon that God loved the moon, and telling all of the animals that God loved them. And so on the day that we remember St. Francis, October 4th, we often bless our animals because God loves our animals too. And so, Sawyer, did you bring, I think you saw, okay, this is Jake? Jack. This is Jack, okay. This is Jack. This is Bella, who's also black, so you can't really see her. She kind of blends in. And this is Patches. And we want to pray for Patches because Patches is now blind because he's older, and so we want to pray for Patches. And as you know, this is my dog, George. This is a picture when he was a puppy, but this is my dog, George. Calvin, do you have any pets? What's your pet's name?
I have four cats.
Four cats.
Their names are Bitsy.
Bitsy.
Okay.
Blackie. Bitsy Blackie.
Chubbs.
Chubbs.
And Spotters, because she's gray and with little spots of tan in her toe.
Spotters. So Bitsy, Blackie, Chubbs, and Spotters. Oh, Mom said he couldn't keep six cats, so he had to give two away.
Her names are Mittens, because gray with white paws, and Baby Yoda, because they were born on May the 4th.
So the other two cats, one of them was named Yoda because they were born on May the 4th, and may the 4th be with you, may the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. Conrad, tell us about your pets. Three,
and one dog.
Chaco is the dog.
And then we have Moonstone, which is black and white.
Moonstone.
With gray and white.
comet. Did you say Lily Rose?
Yeah.
Lily Rose. Okay, so those are your four. Sawyer, Brantley, what are your pets' names? Is that Reese? Sawyer has a dog named Reese. I'm sorry, Brantley. Sawyer's sitting next to me. That's Reese. What's that one's name? Okay. So do you have two dogs or do you have one more for three?
Two.
You have two. Okay, so we're going to pray for Brantley's two dogs. And even though you're sitting over there, we're going to pray for Arlo. And Brody has a little dachshund. I can't remember the dachshund's name. Oh, you have three.
Three dachshunds.
So lots of folks have pets. Raise your hand if you have a pet at home or if you've had a pet. Yeah, lots of people have pets. And so today, to bless our pets, I thought we could do two things. One, we'll say a prayer at the end, but the other, do you all know the song, Jesus Loves Me? Jesus loves me, this I, yep, you know that song? Okay, well, because like St. Francis told the animals that God loves them, I thought we would sing Jesus Loves Me, but in the language of our pets. So for example, I'm gonna say, woof, 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 woof. You think we can do that? We can do our meows or our woofs to the tune of Jesus Loves Me, or we can try?
No.
Is it too much?
No.
You just wanna do the English?
Please.
Okay, we can do the English. All right, you ready? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. So when you get home, can you sing that to your pets, but say, Jesus loves you? Well, I think we're going to go ahead and pray for our pets and bless them. So will you pray with me? Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other.
And
thank you for our church.
Thank you for our church.
Thank you for animals and pets.
Thank you for animals and pets.
And for all the love and joy they bring us.
Help us
to take care of animals and pets
and to love them
well. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you so much for coming up and sharing about your pets. And we have a good news. Susan is here. She's been missing all of you, and so she wanted to do children's church today. You can go with Miss Susan.
The psalm for today is Psalm 19. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold.
Sweeter far than honey, honey.
By them also is your servant enlightened,
and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses?
Cleanse me from my secret thoughts.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then I shall be whole and sound and innocent of great offense. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So we are now in the Word component of our worship, where God speaks to us in Scripture, in the reading of Scripture, preaching, and in song. The corporate communal hearing of God's Word has its roots in the Jewish tradition. From the very earliest times, reading and singing and reading and singing, and it created this natural rhythm of proclamation and response. Each week, except when we do a sermon series, and by the way, we're getting back to regular sermons next Sunday, our readings come from something called the Revised Common Lectionary. Basically, it's a cycle of readings that include an Old Testament lesson, a psalm, a New Testament lesson, and a gospel lesson. And this cycle is repeated every 3 years. There are 3 years, year A, year B, year C. Each year focuses on a different gospel, and the Gospel of John is interwoven throughout all three, as year A is Matthew, year B is Mark, year C is Luke. So right now we are in year B, which will end at the end of November, and year C will begin on the first Sunday of Advent. The last time we were in year B was 2021, and the next time we'll be in it is 2027. The Gospel Acclamation. As far back as the 4th century, and likely earlier, the Gospel was proclaimed with shouts of praise and songs of Alleluia. In Hebrew, Alleluia means praise the Lord, and we sing it as an expression of the joy we have in the Gospel. The acclamation is our opportunity to welcome the reading of the gospel in our midst and to give thanks for that great gift of God's word. We stand during the gospel acclamation to acknowledge and honor the presence of Christ in the word. We also rise for the reading of the gospel in recognition that Christ rose from death to life. And then we bookend the reading with glory to you, O Lord, and praise to you, O Christ. And those date back to at least the 4th century as well. And they are simply expressions of praise around the gospel. And so grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So there was this woman who loved to make meatloaf for her family, and before I became a vegetarian, meatloaf was one of my comfort foods. I've tried to make it with tofu, but it's just not the same. And she would make meatloaf for her family kind of on a regular basis, and she would always make it in a loaf pan. When it came out, she'd put it on the plate, and she'd cut the end off of each end and place them on the top. And one time when they were having meatloaf, her mom came over and shared the meal with them. She did what she always did. She put the loaf on the pan, cut either end off, and put them on the top. And the mother said to her, why did you cut the ends off and put them on the top? And she said, well, that's how you always made it. And the mom said, well, I had to do that. The plate was too short to fit the whole loaf. And I think it's funny, but it helps us understand the truth that sometimes we do things and we don't really know why we do things. We just do them. And so just like Martin Luther often asked, what does this mean? As you've probably learned by now in our 4 years together, Pastor Anna likes to ask, why? Why do we do this? Why do we do it in this way? Why do we believe this? So that's where this instructive Eucharist came from, because I thought maybe you would enjoy learning some of the whys as well. Why we do what we do and say what we say in worship. Because most of our time this morning is focused on the commentary of the instructive Eucharist, I'm going to offer a very brief sermon speaking about God's word. So preaching, the hearing of God's word, and then the hearing of God's word proclaimed in sermon. Why does it even matter? Well, one, in our baptismal promises, we make the promise to come and hear the word of God. So when you're sitting in the pew listening to the sermon, you are being faithful to one of your baptismal promises. Also, don't you think if you're going to come to church on a Sunday morning, you'd like to get a little something out of it? So why not just go ahead and listen and hope that God offers a word to you? Well, preaching has always had a place of high importance among the many ways that proclamation has happened in assemblies for centuries. So in the synagogue, the rabbis and elders would not only read the scriptures, but they would interpret them. Think about the story of Jesus in Luke 4, where he reads from the scroll, and then he interpreted the scriptures for the people. Still today, preaching is the living and the contemporary or current voice that links the witness of God's people throughout the ages with God's people in this time and place. As Lutherans, we believe that God is present to us in three ways, that Christ is present to us in three ways: in God's word, in Holy Communion, and in baptism. And some people find that a little surprising, that Christ is just as present in the word as Christ is in the sacrament. But remember that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus is the Word that God spoke creation into being with. And this very same Word became flesh and lived among us. This Word became human, and this Word spoke human words. Christ is the living and the abiding Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in each of us. The proclamation and preaching of God's word and the good news of Jesus Christ has a very clear purpose: to speak of Christ Jesus in the text so that again we may come to trust God, that we can trust God with our lives, that we again come to faith, and then turn in faith toward our neighbors with service and witness and love. So every Sunday, we've been out in the world all week, and some weeks are rougher than others. And so we return not only to be fed and nourished and strengthened at the table, and to be reminded of who and whose we are at the font, but we come again to hear God's word so that we can come again to trust God in our lives and then go out in faith to love our neighbors. The hearing of God's word is both read aloud and preached, and it prepares us to come to Christ's table. Think about the travelers on the way to Emmaus. Before Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread, he interpreted for them on the way to Emmaus, he interpreted for them all the things about himself in Scripture on the road. He opened up the Scriptures to them, helping them understand everything in light of his death and resurrection. So it's kind of like when we bake bread, right? Before we eat the bread, we smell it baking in the oven, and we get hungry, and we want it long before it's done. We smell it baking, and it whets our appetite. So it is with God's word. God's word whets our appetite and prepares us with hunger so that we can come to Christ's table and feast on the bread of life. And so we come week after week to hear the sacred story of God's love for all creation, not just for the sake of history, but so that we can take our place in Christ's story. Nourished and sustained by the word of God, we go to Christ's table to receive the presence of Christ in the bread and the wine so that we can be sent out to love our neighbors. And so come and take your place in God's story so that you can live out your baptismal calling to bear God's creative and redeeming word, capital W, to all the world. Amen. And I've got something to say about the hymn of the day. I know this isn't flowing as smoothly as it did in my brain, but I promise you, I cut all of this down from 70 pages. Can you believe that? There is so much more that I wanted to say that I had 70 pages worth. But don't worry, there's not that many today. So the hymn of the day is very intentionally placed after the sermon, after we have heard God's word read aloud, and after we have heard Christ and God's love proclaimed to us, because it helps us respond to what we have heard and to what we have experienced in those readings and in the sermon. And so now let us respond to Christ's word and Christ's presence among us in the word.
Thank you.
A creed is the church's confession of belief about who God is and how God acts in the world. The Apostles' Creed is the earliest creed that we have, dating back to the 100s. Reciting the creeds is a sign of unity. It unites us with churches and believers all over the world today, but also with those who have spoken these words throughout all of history and out all of the world. The power of the creed is that even if individually folks aren't so sure about one line here or there, or if folks are struggling and wrestling with doubt, we, the body of Christ, say this creed together. What we believe together is greater than our individual faith and individual struggles. It's not an erasure of personal faith or autonomy, but saying the creed together is a recognition that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves.
Our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The prayers of intercession are also our response to God's word. The intention of these prayers is to express our concern for the whole world, not just for ourselves and our congregation. It's also one way that we carry out the mission to bear God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. There's always a pattern every Sunday, I don't know if you've noticed, but first we pray for the universal church. We then pray for creation and our stewardship of it. We pray for leaders throughout the world that God's justice and peace would reign. We pray for those who are sick or grieving or suffering in any way. We pray for specific ministries in our community or our congregation, and we give thanks for the faithfully departed.
Saints, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. God of our ancestors, we give thanks for the church in all times. May we listen for the prophets of this age who bear messages that stir the church toward renewal and justice. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Creator of every creature on earth, direct our lives toward the renewal and sustaining of birds of the air, animals of the field, and those who share our homes. Reveal the ways we can work alongside creation for the health and well-being of all. God of grace,
hear our prayers.
Sovereign God, we give thanks that you are mindful and benevolent to even us, mere mortals. Accompany us when hardness of heart gets in the way of justice between peoples and nations. Endow leaders with minds for justice and hearts for compassion. God of grace,
hear our prayers.
Restoring God, grant healing and wholeness to those who are sick and suffering, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, John, Mary, Kate, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts.
Rachel, Bobby, Millie, Stephen,
work through medical professionals to diagnose, ease pain, and give life to all who seek their wisdom and experience. God of grace,
hear our prayers.
Unifying God, humans were created for relationship with the earth, its creatures, and one another. Forgive us when division threatens companionship, mutual support, and unity among us. May your love inspire us to build supportive communities of faith where all are cherished. God of grace,
hear our prayers.
Merciful God, hear our cry for mercy in the wake of Hurricane Helene. Bring hope and peace to those who grieve, who are harmed, who are displaced. Be with all who offer assistance. May your spirit uphold them. Give all who are suffering strength to meet the days ahead. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of resurrection, you prepare a place in the kingdom through Christ's death and resurrection. We give thanks for the saints who have taken their place at your heavenly banquet. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The sharing of the peace also goes back to the earliest days of the church. In some of Paul's letters, you'll see him writing to them, greet each other with a kiss of peace. Back then, they kissed one another with peace. It was different than it is today, but today we don't do that. But sharing of God's peace, it's not just a friendly hello to those sitting around us. It's not a time for catching up on the news. It's not a time for reminding somebody there's a meeting later. Passing the peace is an act of reconciliation that serves as the transition point between the word part of the service and the meal. The exchange of peace is an announcement of grace between one another. In this time, we say, "The peace of Christ be with you," or "Peace be with you." This ministry of sharing Christ's peace is far more than a sociable handshake, because the presence of Jesus Christ and his peace that we give to each other is a commitment to the reality of God with us. Because in sharing the peace with one another, we are reconciled to one another. The peace functions as a seal of our prayers of intercession and is a sign that we are serious about the work of reconciliation. And so may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, dear Judy. Peace be with you, Calvin. We now begin the meal portion of our service. And a collection is taking point at this juncture because it is taken for both the mission of the church and the care of those in need. It's taken here because it became associated with going to communion. If God so graciously feeds us in God's word and in the sacrament, we, in response, should turn toward the needs of our neighbor. We prayed for those needs in the prayers, and now we share something of ourselves and what we have to put legs to those prayers.
And then we have the basket.
Pray together. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
We have already gone to about 10:30, so I'm going to save the rest perhaps for another day. And so the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, loving and faithful God. All your works from the heights to the depths echo your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light. Darkness withdrew and creation dawned. When the times had at last ripened and the earth had grown in full abundance, your word created humankind in your image to steward all of creation. You gave us breath and speech that all might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you called good. And so with the entire communion of saints, with angels and the whole creation, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Amen.
Blessed are you, gracious and merciful God. Before our beginnings, you have always been the three-in-one being who was and is to come. From before time, you have been dreaming us up, imagining a world, forming us into creatures who might come to love you in return. By your breath and with your hands, you made us and have written us into the long and unending story of your love. Around a table with the ones you called to carry on your story, you, Jesus Christ, took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to your disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, break, and give us, that we might be your body in the world. After the meal ended, you, Jesus, took the cup of wine. Again, you gave thanks and praise and gave the cup to your disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this cup and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, pour, and give us, that we might be your life flowing for the world. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ has set the table with more than enough for all. Come.
Thank you. Thank you.
Strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be your body in the world, that we may show God's love to all people. Amen.
The blessing of God, who provides for us, who journeys with us, and who feeds us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. And I forgot to announce that Keith Cecil is having shoulder replacement on Tuesday. He's not in the prayer list, but I'll put him on there for next week. Please hold Keith in your prayers.